Lesson 29.
A high school teacher. Mrs. Cox teaches English in a high school in San Francisco, a big city on the west coast of the United States. She had wanted to become a teacher when she was young. She had taught 8 years now and always enjoyed her work. A school day at Mrs. Cox's high school is divided into 6 periods of 1 hour each. Mrs. Cox teaches 5 of these 6 periods. During her free period, from 2 to 3 p.m., Mrs. Cox has to meet with parents, order supplies, make out examinations, check assignments, and take care of many other things. So Mrs. Cox works steadily from the time she arrives at school in the morning until she leaves for home late in the afternoon, and her free period isn't really free at all. An English teacher usually divides her time among 3 subjects: language, including grammar, punctuation, spelling, etc., composition, and literature. Mrs. Cox's favourite subject is literature, and her most exciting classes are those on the literature of Black Americans. For Mrs. Cox, like most of the students in her school, is black. In her 6th period today, Mrs. Cox taught a poem by a well-known black writer in the United States. She wrote the poem on the blackboard and read it aloud. No sooner had she finished reading the poem than students' questions began pouring in. One boy said the poem was heartbreakingly sad. Another student, a girl, said she had read a book by the same writer, but she wasn't able to enjoy it as much as her mother did, and she didn't know why. A third, a keen viewer of TV theatre, recognised a phrase in the poem which had been used as the title of a recent play. As she answered the questions, Mrs. Cox made sure that her students understood every line of the poem. She asked them to discuss if the poem contained any message. The discussion became so lively that no one wanted to stop when the bell rang. Some said there was no message. Some said there was. Some said it didn't really matter, and the class ended at that. As she drove home, Mrs. Cox thought about the class she had just left. Today she could feel good about what she had accomplished as a teacher. Not one of her students looked bored. Every one of them seemed interested in the poem. Once they started to talk, they forgot about the time. She did not have to make them learn. She only had to answer their questions and to guide the discussion. This, she thought to herself, is what teaching is all about.
A phone call. 437-2811.
Hello, is that Nick?
Yes, speaking.
Oh, hello, this is Kate. It's about our meeting with Mr. Jones.
I think he's really going to help us a lot. Are you free on Saturday morning to meet him?
No, sorry. I'm going to see my bank manager.
Oh, dear. What about Friday morning?
Yes, Friday is fine. What time?
7:30.
7:30. Right. See you then. Bye.
Bye. A poem by Li Bai. Before my bed, there is bright moonlight, so that it seems like frost on the ground. Lifting my head, I watch the bright moon. Lowering my head, I dream that I'm home.
Rise like lions. Rise like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number. Shake your chains to earth like dew, which in sleep had fallen on you. You are many, they are few.
The Selfish Giant. One morning, the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It was a little bird singing outside his window. The north wind had stopped. A sweet perfume came to him through the open window. "I believe spring has come at last," said the giant. He jumped out of bed and looked out of the window. And what did he see? He saw a most wonderful picture. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had entered the garden, and they were sitting on the branches of the trees. In every tree there was a little child. The trees were so glad to see children back again that they covered themselves with blossoms. The birds were flying about and singing happily, and the flowers were looking through the green grass. It was a lovely picture. Only in one corner of the garden, it was still winter. A little boy was standing there crying. He was so small that he could not reach the branches of the tree. The poor tree was still covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing above it. The giant's heart was touched as he saw all this. "How selfish I've been," he said. "Now I know why spring did not want to come here. I will put that poor little boy on top of that tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden will be the children's playground forever." He was really sorry for what he had done. So he opened the door softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away, and winter again came into the garden. Only the little boy did not run away, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant. The giant came up to him, took him carefully in his arms, and put him on the top of the tree. At once the tree burst into blossom. The birds came back and began to sing in it, and the little boy put his arms around the giant's neck and kissed him. When the other children saw this, they were not afraid of the giant any more. They came back, and with them came spring. "It is your garden now, little children," said the giant. He took a great axe and knocked down the wall. After this, the children again came to play in the giant's garden every day. Sometimes the giant played with them. Sometimes he sat in an armchair and watched them play. "I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all." Cox, San Francisco, City, Coast, Enjoy, Period, Each, Meet with, Supply, Check, Assignment, Assign, Steadily, Punctuation, Composition, Literature, Favorite, Subject, Poem, Poor, Heartbreakingly, Wonder, Enjoy, Keen, Viewer, View, TV, Television, Theater, TV Theater, Recognize, Title, Recent, Contain, lively. Message. Accomplish. Board. Bore. Once. Guide. Nick. Kate. Bank. Manager.